Hi, I'm Mary Beth, a lifelong baseball fan who works in the cannabis industry.
And I'm her husband, Eric. I'm trying to get back into baseball, and I work from home. This is High and Inside. George. The high portion of today's episode is brought to you by Purple Haze. Purple Haze, all in your leg.
It's not leg, it's brain.
I always thought it was leg.
It's brain.
Welcome to High and Inside, the only show where everything's made up and the points don't matter. I've always wanted to say that. I have said that. I've always wanted to record myself saying that. Mary Beth.
Yes.
Tell me what is awesome about baseball this week.
EBTs.
EBTs?
Exciting baseball things.
Exciting baseball things. TM.
Here's what I want to say. First of all, as a follow-up to an EBT from last week, Chris Davis finally ended his hitless streak with a couple of great games in Boston. And I want to talk about how poorly the Boston Red Sox have started this season after winning a championship last year.
Did Chris Davis, like, transfer his bad luck to the Red Sox?
It feels like they just bought so much karma last year that it's like crashing because their lineup really is so similar. I don't understand.
So they won the championship last year, correct?
Yeah.
And they're just having a Super Bowl hangover, but it's not the Super Bowl.
No. World Series.
Right.
I think they're having a little championship hangover, and I really only think that because so little of their roster changed, and I really think they had a great team. I mean, they kind of tore through the league last year, and Craig Kimbrel is one of the only people that they're missing significantly from their roster, and he still is playing for no team in the major league of baseball.
So what do you think's the problem with the Red Sox?
I don't know.
Aside from the fact that they're in Boston.
I guess I haven't been following enough of their games, but it seems like their starting pitching is really leaving a lot to be desired. Mm-hmm. Their Chris Sale, I think David Price has started fine. I know that Chris...
they should have pitchers maybe with less economic last names. Maybe that's it.
Chris used to play at the Cell in Chicago.
Oh, he was a White Sox?
Correct.
Why did I think...
That's where he cut up the jerseys that he didn't want to have to wear. Remember that story?
You have to remind me of this
story. Oh, yeah. So they were going to wear these like one-off jerseys for freaking Memorial Day or something like that, and he didn't want to have to wear them because it was his start. So he went through the clubhouse and like cut holes in everybody's jerseys.
That's very weird.
It was kind of insane. That was the biggest takeaway I had, was like, Jesus Christ, dude. Like... how would anyone want to be on a team with someone like that?
Yeah, that's like something a kid does in like junior high.
So
like the socially
odd
awkward
and
kid.
Childish and like a little like sociopathic.
Yeah, that's very weird.
But he's had a really rough start.
Rick
Porcello is the pitcher who Chris Davis broke his streak against.
Yeah, so economics and mushrooms.
Right, Porcello mushrooms. My favorite. I'm a big fan, Eric.
Yeah, I don't like mushrooms. I keep trying them. Keep coming up with the same answer, which is they're bad and I don't like them.
I appreciate that you keep trying.
Yeah.
It's interesting to see them struggle so much. It makes one wonder if, you know, knowing that Craig Kimbrel was going to be there in the ninth inning bolstered all the other pitching. I don't know, but like if your rotation's falling apart, seemingly that
and you're
not even getting there.
But I think that's kind of the thing you realize if you're a fan of a league over a series of years, is that a championship team is some part lightning in a bottle.
Yeah.
And like you can put the same team out there, but they're fundamentally different because they've won a championship together.
Yeah.
And their mindset's going to be a little different. I see this in the other sports I actually like. Like you can't just win a championship and have that mean nothing and expect to go out and win one in the same way or the same fashion, unless you're the Patriots. But fuck the Patriots.
There'd be exception to all of those kind of.
But I think they do a good job of like cycling in new talent and keeping young, hungry guys.
The Patriots,
and if you don't do that, it kind of it has to kill the motivation.
Yeah, I can't think of any major acquisitions for them, but I also have a National League bias. Obviously, we're both fans of National League teams, mm-hmm. So I admit a bit of ignorance. But I do know that, they have a lot of the same lineup. They're also kind of like locking down young guy. They gave Xander Bogaerts and I believe Mookie Betts both like these big extensions. So like
Xander Bogaerts sounds like a Star Trek character.
Absolutely. Everyone on their team has insane names. Andrew Benintendi. Like they have like an Atari. Like they all.
Do they still have Daisuke Matsuzaka?
I don't know.
He was, when I went to college in the Boston area, the greater Boston area, Lowell, Massachusetts. What up? It's a terrible place. but I was there when they signed Daisuke Matsuzaka. He was a Japanese pitcher who was like highly touted and there was a bit of a bidding war and he came over and because I didn't follow baseball, I was like, what happened? Did that guy ever live up to the hype? But you don't have the answer for that. So
no.
We'll never know. Maybe that'll be in a show note.
Yeah. Throw it in the notes. On the contrary, so the Boston Red Sox have the worst run differential in the American League. Maybe close to the worst in baseball, but our little Miami Marlins are a scuffling. No, they have the
Mm-hmm.
So
what is the run differential?
40. Negative 40.
Damn.
It's the second worst in the league. On the contrary, the highest run differential in the National League is the Dodgers. And they lost last year. And they've like come out of the gate. And guys like Cody Bellinger shaking off this sophomore slump and kind of going like, okay, I've lost twice now. I would like to win, please. And they kind of like shed Puig and Matt Kemp, and that's kind of what I wanted to swing to, is that like they're having so much success, and there was a game where those guys with the Reds came back to LA for the first time since they were traded, Matt Kemp and Yasiel Puig. They traded someone else to another pitcher, I think, but it's not important. So they come back. Yasiel Puig's first at bat back in LA off of Clayton Kershaw, arguably one of the best pitchers in the league. He hits a home run out of the park, puts them up 2-0. Matt Kemp puts them ahead in the ninth inning. It was tied. So thus far, only members of the 2018 Dodgers had scored runs in the game. But at the end of the day, the Dodgers came back and won. They still got the last say. They still seem to be kind of like in charge of their fate, whereas the Red Sox are just like scuffling.
Yeah. And do you think it's, if you had to guess what it would be, would you say it's motivation and drive? Like is it the hunger? Is it the Dodgers have the munchies and the Red Sox are, they got little full tummies?
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, they talk about championship hangovers literally as being somewhat in part of an actual hangover, in that like you just,
it's a really emotional and like physical.
You did a lot of partying because you just achieved the pinnacle of your profession,
right?
So like you were out drinking and
there's really what most of October.
Mm-hmm.
No, they don't finish until like early November, right? So you got November,
I believe the
December.
Early November was an emo band that I saw open up for Fallout Boy.
You know they're going to party in December. That's the holidays. They got to keep partying.
Party in December was a ska band.
January.
Emo band.
Most
months have emo bands.
And then spring training starts in February.
Yeah.
So they really only had like 1 month of training.
Yeah.
They started in January and they were like, oh, damn, I got tired.
Yeah. And some players got paid too, right?
Sure. Yeah.
So that's got to be
people settling in and going like, okay, I'm feel not like, as hungry anymore.
I feel like every time I've gotten a raise at wherever I work, the next day I kind of like walk around like king shit dick. A little.
You know? Walk around with your nuts hanging low.
I mean, no. Metaphorically. But
I knew
that makes sense.
You would never say anything like that, but it made me laugh.
But does that make sense to you, right?
Of
you
know, course.
You feel a little like, yeah. Oh, I'm welcome here. I'm
the boss.
Yeah, I've done this. I know what
I
I'm doing.
I will lean back.
And you get a little cocksure and
yeah.
A pound heavy. That's not this. A dollar, in for
penny.
A dollar, in for
shy.
A penny. We need euphemism.
In for a
work.
Penny, in for a pound.
But yeah, I've always thought it was those kind of things. Those kind of things are true and they do happen. So it's not a surprise to see the hangovers and the
yeah.
the way that losing seems to be the biggest motivator to go ahead and win, you know?
Yeah. But with that said,
mm-hmm.
we're what, a tenth of the way into the season,
mm-hmm.
thereabouts. And so what's your take on baseball at a tenth of the way in?
So I am a bit down on it right now.
Yeah.
I'm having a hard time. Well, the biggest problem is that the NHL playoffs were going on.
It's peak sports.
Yeah, and my team just got swept hours ago. So I'm a little bummed out about the end of a season of a sport I'm really enthusiastic about. So it's kind of hard for me to like be too excited about the 12th game of the season.
Hey, we're a little deeper than that.
And I think that if I'm projecting my fandom out, I can see myself in busier times in my life if I have like some events to go to or something, or if I'm doing some traveling, not keeping up with
yeah.
a sport on a day-to-day basis.
Sure.
And is that part of baseball to you? Do you think that like one of the nice things about it is that you can check in and check out of it?
I actually do think that.
Yeah.
It I don't like missing games. Like when I miss a game, I always like check a box score mm-hmm. at the very least. Like I like to know how the team is doing on any given day. But like it doesn't lock you at the house on a Saturday or a Sunday quite like football can tend
right.
to. You can kind of, as I've said, like listening to it on the radio. So it's this thing that I can like do while I'm at work. And I can't imagine doing that with like any other sport.
I don't know how to, I think what you just said kind of unlocked something for me, which is my relationship with the sports that I like is that they're front and center.
Yeah.
And baseball is kind of great because
it can be
passive, exactly. And I need to figure out how to let it be passive. But because my sports muscles are so conditioned to be an active sports watcher, to sit down and watch the game, I'm going to make snacks while I watch the game, I'm going to be really into the game. I need to like deprogram myself of that a little bit and enjoy baseball. The other thing I'm trying to key in more on is
Key in moron is probably a player for like the Rays.
He's a five tool player.
Yeah. They picked him up for Malik Smith.
Weirdly, he's actually a four tool player. He could work on his intelligence. I don't think intelligence is one of the tools, right? I'm trying to key in more on to series and understanding and looking at series and
as units
of action more than just games.
Yeah, because if you divide 162 by 3, what's that?
Oh God, 5, 12, 4, 54. 54. I already did it.
So that's how many series there are in a season.
That's crazy.
They're about.
Yeah.
So if you think about it like that, it's like, oh, that's like close. That's less than hockey games and still a few less than NBA games, right?
Yeah, that's a good point.
But like, it's four times NFL games.
Right.
If you think about it in units like that, it's more reasonable, I guess.
There's an old
it's still so many baseball games.
There's an old baseball adage that I've heard, which is, and I think it's kind of sarcastic. It's kind of a joke. It's you're going to win 54. You're going to lose 54. It's what you do with the other 54.
There you
which
go.
Is, I think, appropriate. But
it's the, but that's, you can think about each series like that too.
Yeah. I think
it's like you can either take them all or.
Yeah. I think that's what I'm going to work on in my hockey morning period. But why don't we, how are the Braves doing?
The Braves are doing offensively very well. Most of the Braves starting pitching, with the exception of Sean Newcomb, who had a rocky start, I believe, against the Rockies, and had to be replaced by someone who had just been recalled from AAA, Touki Toussaint. He earned his place in the rotation, and they sent Sean Newcomb back down. Ah. So there's some like rumblings in the rotation, and then the bullpen is just very beat up. There's one person who never came off the injured list once the season started. Our closer, Aroldis Vizcaino, who pitched in a few games through like early April and immediately went back on the injured list for shoulder issues. Like we were already weak in the relief pitching department, and it's showing.
Yeah.
The only people that we have are promising youngsters.
Do you think that, how do you feel about the season long prospects for the team? Still the same? There's just going to be some bumps and you gotta weather them.
I don't think anything's really changed about my perception of it, because I think I came into this knowing that it was going to be our bullpen was the weakest link.
Yeah.
I think that the offense has really turned it on. So that's been exciting to watch.
What would you say is the surprise story of the Braves start this year?
I think it would be hard not to say Dansby Swanson.
Mm-hmm.
He came out of a sophomore slump, not dissimilar to the Dodgers Cody Bellinger, in this way where like they both came out like hot and promising and had second full seasons that were disappointing.
Mm-hmm.
And then have both started really hot again. I think he just like figured out his swing, and he's like locked in,
and he's in a good spot in the lineup too. Like
he's
gonna see, you have to pitch to him
because
the rest of their lineup is kind of
he's batting behind all these guys who are also batting well at this
right.
point.
Yeah.
The only person who's still really struggling is also a former Arizona Diamondback who the Braves are facing right now. Ender Inciarte is struggling at the top of the lineup. There was some rumblings before the season started as to whether he should be the leadoff or Acuna should stay there. Everyone kind of agreed that Acuna, as a more power hitter, should be farther down. But I wouldn't be surprised if we start seeing the second baseman, Ozzie Albies, getting even more starts in that leadoff spot than Inciarte, not just based on like handedness matchups, mm-hmm. because Ozzie has been hitting so well and Ender has been hitting so poorly.
Yeah.
So that's kind of my...
So they seem like they're in a good spot.
Yeah, we need to get Mike Foltynewicz back. But other than that, I feel it's maintained just being worried about the bullpen. But we're still hovering around the top of the... in at least, so
cool.
It looks good. How are you feeling about the Pirates.
I guess if I'm going to analyze the team, I would say, and with my expert analysis, I would say similarly, their bullpen has blown a few games in the first few. They seem to be doing well. They're 9-6 right now, which is a pretty good start, I guess.
That's better than the Braves. We're 9-7.
So they're in the hunt.
Yeah.
But their bullpen has blown a few games. I think that Josh Bell continues to hit well, which is fun. He's rapidly shooting up my favorite players list because he's just like the big power bat.
Hard not to like.
You like
a
to
guy
see
like
a guy
that.
Hit a ball real hard and far and go over defense.
Yeah.
The starting pitching continues to be good.
Yeah.
So I think a guy like Starling Marte needs to hit a little bit more. He seems to have not been producing, even though tonight he hit a home run in extras that helped them win the game they played tonight. So maybe that'll be
showing up a little
bit. That, and I feel like as someone, he was a name I knew more than others coming into the season, and I thought he was supposed to be kind of more the face of the team.
Yeah.
So when he wasn't hitting, I was just kind of like, what's happening? This is the guy that's supposed to be hitting the ball and hitting the home runs and being the star of our team.
Was it last year that he was suspended?
He was suspended for PEDs or MMAs or MBCs.
It was the first one.
Yeah.
Was
either
it
last
year
or 2 years ago. I can't. Yeah. I wouldn't know specifically. So I'm hoping to watch him get a little hot. Right now, based on to be honest with you, though, and a thing I'm trying to start to realize as a fan is that with the state of the Penguins just getting swept, the state of the Steelers having a bunch of off-season turmoil, the Pirates are kind of the most fun team
in
Pittsburgh right
now.
A
good team to get into.
So when I look at it through the sadness that I've the sports tears I've cried over the past, I didn't really cry. I haven't cried at a sport since. More recent than I'm going to admit. I don't think I've ever cried for a loss. Yeah. I don't think I've ever been like, maybe as a a little baby boy.
A little baby boy.
But as an adult, I don't think I yelled at a loss in my worst sport fan days, but I don't think I've ever cried. I'd tear up during a championship win.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Why wouldn't you?
For sure.
If you didn't, why are you watching
sometimes
sports?
Sometimes I tear up when I watch other teams get a walk-off.
It's just boys playing a game.
It's just boys playing a game.
But yeah, I think I'd characterize myself right now as like in a bit affected by other sports. And I'm kind of in the, I'm hoping this is like the start. This is my like rock bottom. And this is where I would say like, oh, that's when I really started to get into them once the hockey season was over. And so I'm hoping they win and don't just give me more things to be sad about. But I'm hoping to get like really ramp up and get into them in the coming weeks and months.
Good.
Now that I don't have the other sports, although the NFL draft's coming up. So there's always something. last week we sloppily did an outro catchphrase for this segment.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to repeat that or do you want to try to invent a new one on the spot?
Are you saying that because you loved the one from last week?
I'm saying that because if I want nothing else for my wife, it's for her to have agency over her life.
Ooh, ain't that the twoof?
Is that the catchphrase?
Ain't that the twoof?
So, Mary Beth, I hear that you have an exclusive journalistic scoop for us this week.
I do. One of the biggest kind of surprises of the Braves offseason was the reacquisition of Brian McCann after a few years away with the Yankees and the Astros. He came back to the team, and everyone kind of speculated as to why he would agree to take such a pay cut and whether he really, you know, had what it took to be a valuable member of the team. But what I have obtained is the pitch that the Braves general manager, Alex Anthopoulos, made to Brian McCann.
Wow.
Yeah, this is a recording of his, you know, plea for him to come home, spend a year with the old Bravos and bring him home, you know, bring his a veteran presence to his old team.
Great. So let's take a listen to him pitching to Brian McCann. Does McCann have any nicknames?
Yeah, pretty universally people call him B-Mac.
B like BB Mac?
Yeah. Like BB Mac. Brian, how's your knee? Got another season to spend with the Braves. We'll pay you $2 million. Got a spot to fill. Still think you can make some waves. Here's T Flow so alone. And there's no one who will cost less than you. So come back to the Braves. Come back to the Braves. There's a pitch that's inside. I want you to frame. You are the one with the boy band nickname. And I wonder, is 35 too old? Has your bat gone cold? And I wonder, veteran presence for our young guys? Cause here's T-Flow so alone, and we couldn't afford JT Real Mute. To come back to the Braves. Miss you, want you, need you so. So come back to the Braves. There's a pitch that's inside, I want you to frame. You are the one with the boy band nickname. So, Eric, bring us home. What is the inside scoop?
My inside scoop this week is going to be what I've been having for lunch lately.
So this is an inside scoop you adopted from me.
Yeah. This is kind of influenced by you. And also, I feel like I haven't yet breached food in my inside scoops, but most of them will be food.
I was honestly kind of shocked that it took a while to get to food.
But I've
and the first food item is going to be shocking.
Yeah, I like food a lot. And my first food, a great healthy lunch recommendation, is this specific salad I've been making, which is simply, I work from home. So when I take my lunch, I like to, it's nice to be in the kitchen for a second and like put something together as opposed to having something pre-prepared. Just kind of spices up my day, gives me a little more variety in the day, but I'm enjoying making this little salad. It's very simple. It's just mixed greens, whatever greens you prefer. If you like spinach, if you like a romaine, if you like a 50-50 mix, a spring mix.
I love a spring mix.
I just do some greens. I do blueberries and blackberries. I do a little bit of feta cheese and then a raspberry vinaigrette dressing. If you have some walnuts or some nuts,
I'll
to
do
throw
a
in.
Sunflower seed.
Sunflower seeds, not as much
of a sunflower seed guy.
But I find
do you toast a tort for the top?
You know, I haven't been. I had no like crouton analog, but I've just been really, really enjoying all those tastes together. The feta cheese really brings it home. I don't know why.
Man,
I don't know what kind of salad
is that. It's amazing what a salad your wife can make.
Yeah.
How that can influence your tastes in salads.
I like a good salad. and that's the inside scoop for the week. We'll see all you baseball fans. How did Drew Carey sign off of Whose Line Is It Anyway? And that's
Ryan and Wayne are gonna do the credits like they're Abbott and Costello.
Yeah.
And who's the producing manager?